overlanding in your stock rig to full-on LS-powered two buggies on stickies. This is the Total Off-Road Podcast. I'm Steve.
I'm Mike, and you're listening to episode 213.
You're so prepared.
I looked just before we started talking. I was like, I should see what episode this is.
Yeah. I got a message, a Snapchat from Mr. Brad Prater, who won last week's giveaway.
Oh.
And he was like, I don't need anything for Pork Chop, but I do need something for the new Jeep. And so he got some parts for the new Jeep, ordered them through the Complete Off-Roads, already paid the bill.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get anything cool?
I think you got a bumper.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you about that, but I did on the internet.
You not only told me, everybody.
I told everybody. My bad.
I mean, you didn't say what kind of bumper it is. I guess we could just, you know, stop there. Bumper. The kind that bumps?
I think so. Potentially off-road bumps. Came from
the kind that bumps.
It probably completely off-road bumps. It bumps off-road. It completely bumps off-road. That would be my guess.
Hope so.
Mm-hmm. So, got that taken care of and squared up. And I have not looked to see, I haven't seen any new patrons come online since last week. And so I think we're okay there. And are there any other housekeeping things that need to happen?
And as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I need to open up the thing. Let's see.
What's the thing?
Oh, there's like a list of things that we're supposed to do on the podcast to try to keep this somewhat coherent. And I never open it until like,
once
somebody
on
starts doing stuff. So I'm like, oh yeah, intro. Okay, we did the intro.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Summershine Supply.
You wish.
Well, it could be.
I mean, it could be. You are in the building.
Right. I am using the shop.
Every episode is brought to you by Summer. I can't even say it. Summershine.
Yeah. Yep. So if you're looking for something to detail your ride, head over to summershinesupply.com.
I did.
And you got some things.
I haven't even used it yet. I put it all in my truck and then I took my truck to the body shop.
Well, back to the body shop?
It's back at the body shop.
Why?
Well, I didn't tell you.
Mm.
Did I tell everybody and you just weren't on that podcast?
Probably.
Well, I'll just keep it short and sweet then because I don't remember if I told Derek or not. My mom's Corolla needed some work a few weeks ago. And so she borrowed my truck so I could, you know, work on her car. She shouldn't have done that. Should have given her Patty's car because Patty's car is, you know, Corolla sized and my truck is not. Mm-hmm. Well, it was supposed to hail. And so she parked in her carport and she got in the carport just fine. And now she went to leave. She took out a door, a mirror, and a fender. So, good
she
stuff.
Turned too soon?
Huh?
She just turned too soon?
She said that she just couldn't figure out the mirrors. Like, they were too close. It's like millimeters, like, to get it in there. And she was like, I just couldn't get it out. It was night.
It was night.
She realized that it was close, and she kept trying, and then she heard a crunch, and it was all over. So, so my truck got messed up.
Well,
the silver lining being that I still needed to get some of the truck painted to have entirely new paint, and so I'm just having everything done, so it'll be 100% new.
Nice.
Everything except the roof. And the reason being, and this is probably silly, you know how the new Chevys all have that little shark fin antenna, but it's offset and it's like right over the driver's head?
Mm-hmm.
Hate it. And I want it gone. And I asked them, I was like, all of you guys paint the roof too, but you got to shave this hole. And they're like, we don't do that. We're just a body shop. We're not a custom shop. And I'm like, all right, well, I tried. What? So I know it's probably like a half inch hole. All they have to do is patch it. But they were like, no, we can't do that.
Plug in that real quick and tack it up and be good.
They told me no, whatever. So I'm going to have everything painted. Like, I don't know. Whenever I had Scott paint the toppers, probably is that the oldest paint?
Really?
I don't know. I think it was. But anyway, that was probably like 2019. So all the paint is under 5 years old now. Ish. Maybe it's 20. I don't remember. So hopefully I'll have that back next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good stuff.
Right on. So the whole truck will be basically new paint, and you're not planning on getting rid of the truck, so that's perfect.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Exciting. Okay, so in order to stay on topic or on whatever it is that we're doing here, What you drinking, Steve?
I'm drinking. I have to shut all the noise suppressions off.
I'm going to do it too.
Okay, hold on. I just shut that off. And then, is that it? Just the one?
Or
is
there think you just, yeah, just click the one thing and then you should be all crispity.
Okay.
Okay. Bush. Is it actually Bush though?
It is.
Really? Actually, you're drinking a Bush Light?
I am. I'm drinking a Bush Light.
Oh, how very, what's the word I want to use for this? Oh yeah, bougie. That's the word.
That's why my pinky's up. Uh-huh.
I'm not going to ask you anything about it because it's Bush Light.
You don't
know, I'm just going to turn off my noise suppression and do the same thing, and hopefully even better. We'll see. Kind of figure it out. Did it sound good?
Decent.
Okay.
Not as good as in the studio it used to sound.
No, nothing's that like that.
As good as it got.
I'm having a surprise triptych beer. Anything can be an omen. A West Coast inspired India Pale Ale featuring
anything can be an omen.
Anything can be an omen.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Anything can be an Owen.
Mm. That's odd.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, it's double IPA, you know, run of the bull stuff. It's pretty tasty.
Yeah.
I've been chomping at the bit to open it.
Chomping at the bit, he says.
Yeah, I've been sitting here dry waiting for us to get to the beer section so I could do that crispity crunch.
Done that early. Should be like, this is episode 13.
I didn't even say 213. I'm just like, this is episode 13. Drink.
We should have restarted seasons every 100.
We should have.
That would have been smart. But here we are.
It sounds cooler. It's like having a checking account. You don't get a new checking account. You start it with check number one because everyone's like, oh, this check's going to bounce. This guy's brand new at checking.
Mm-hmm.
So if we say this is episode 13, people are like, man, these guys have only been doing this for 13 episodes?
Well, yeah.
Nah.
Oh, we suck at it.
213. We still suck at it, but at least we've done it 213 times.
Sucked 213 times at it.
Yeah. We know what's up.
Yeah, we do. We do know what's up. So, what did you do last week? Did you do anything last week?
Last week, I did some snow day stuff.
It's been like 2 weeks since you've been on. So,
yeah, actually, I went through a roller coaster of emotions with snow day.
Mm-hmm.
So, Eric,
he's a shit.
Eric, the other knob polisher, sent me a set of U-bolts, which is great. You know, he had them custom made somewhere. I don't know. They were perfect. Like, I mean, I was, you know, you're a little worried because you get someone measurements. You're like, if they get any one of these measurements, like even a little bit off, you know, it's going to be like, these don't quite work. They fit. I think they fit even better than the ones I took the measurements from. Like, it was so perfect. Like, as I slid them into place, like I was able to like drop the axle plates on and like all four aligned so perfectly that it was like magic. I was like, oh, I didn't even have to like tweak anything. I didn't have to get the dead blow out. I mean, they were just perfect in every way. So great. Thank you very much, Eric. Love the U-bolts.
Thanks, E-Rock.
Just great stuff. Mm-hmm. So me and Derek talked about these leaf springs. He gave me these leaf springs that were under his truck because his truck weighs 2,000 pounds less than mine.
Oh my God.
I pull one of the four leaves out. 2,000
pounds less than yours?
Yeah, I have a six. I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I am on my second beer. That's my excuse. His truck was 8,000 pounds. Mine weighs 6,000 pounds. I think to myself, I pull one leaf out of this pack. That's going to be perfect for basically getting my ride height where I need to be. I don't know. You never know, especially with the set of used leaf springs and used leaf springs out of a different gear making model. So it's kind of a crapshoot, right? But, you know, you got to do something.
Yep.
So I pulled one out, stuck them under the truck. Got it all put back together, set it down, and the truck is 2 inches lower in the back.
Oops. She's super squatting.
Fun. Yeah, she had some heavy Carolina squat, and not little enough that I thought to myself, I can live with this. Like, you know, it's no big deal. It's just a little bit. Now, at least two full inches, so that wasn't going to work.
Two full inches.
So this last weekend, actually just a couple days ago on Sunday. I saved the leaves, thankfully, the ones I took out, and I took everything back apart and I put the other leaves in and I set it back down, and it's almost perfectly level. Moral of the story being, I should have done nothing and just put them in the truck. Still not sure exactly how that works, because this truck was so much heavier than mine. You would think that I would have needed a lighter leaf, but apparently not.
Yeah. It's wild that taking that out dropped it 2 inches.
I mean, a little bit obviously is the spring itself, like, which is, I don't know, maybe half an inch tops, but I don't know why that one spring added that much rate. But either way, yeah, it's almost perfect, like within a half an inch all the way around. So I was like, great.
Mm-hmm.
So I got Snow Day put back together. For some reason, I don't have a torque wrench at home. So I drove it to work today. One, because my truck's in the body shop, and two, because I just need something because I needed to torque everything. So I drove it to work. It's kind of making some knocking sounds. Still not sure what those were. I was a little worried that I left the wheels loose. I didn't. They were fine. But I was able to get a few turns out of the leaf spring bolts to get them to OEM spec, which is around 80 foot-pounds. I just tightened everything to 80, and it seems better now. So yeah, Snow Day's back together. It's got some brand new ORD super shackles. It's got some light duty 2500 springs.
That's awesome.
No overloads this time. So hopefully I'll have a little bit more.
Ready to go wheeling?
Ready to go wheeling-ish. It still has a pretty bad leak from the steering box. And I still have to address that transfer case input seal where it's like overfilling the transfer case. But yeah, I mean, it's drivable now.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's right. That's good. I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'll probably handle that when it works. I don't have to do it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Use the trans jack and just... So I didn't know... I think Derek had said this, that with a Turbo 400, you just replace the transfer case input seal. I guess there isn't a seal on the back of a Turbo 400.
It's just wet.
I think it's just designed to leak fluid into that adapter plate that goes between the two. So I guess the seal I need is just the transfer case input seal.
I wonder how hard it is to change that input seal.
I mean, I'm hoping it's just like any other seal. Like, you just got to be real careful to not nick the, you know, like the shaft as you get it out.
Always maybe
drill a tiny hole in it and like put a screw in it and pull on it or something.
Always make sure not to nick the shaft.
Yeah, that's never pleasant for anybody.
What do you run for transfer case?
241 stock OEM.
I think there's a 4 or 6 bolt like plate on the front of that you pull off.
Oh, that'd be great if I could take the plate off and just pop the seal right out and not have to worry about nicking the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that's the case.
So,
but I don't know. I didn't put that transfer case in.
Oh, you didn't?
It was a drivetrain shop.
Oh.
When I had him put the 400 in it and adapt it, he put the transfer case in, and I haven't had it out since. It's just been good.
Love that.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So in general, Snow Day's doing pretty good. Just needs a little bit of leak fixes, and she should be good to go.
It just looks like a regular seal, according to the internet.
Oh yeah, nothing too special about it.
It does look as though it has a 4 bolt. Oh, I wonder if you have to take that. I don't know.
Are you just looking at the front of an NP241 right now?
I'm just looking at pictures of an input seal, and it's like an input retainer. And I think you pop that off and then you remove the, like, you can pop the seal retainer, that 4 bolt piece there.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Off. And then underneath that is the retaining clip for the bearing to keep all that that shaft like in place with the planetaries and everything. I think that's right. So yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yes, that is correct, because that piece, the input shaft, has the gear on the other side for the planetaries.
Yeah.
So yeah, it has to have a retaining clip. So yeah, you just pop off your transfer case, hold 6 bolts, pull that sucker out, and then pull the 4 bolts off, take that seal housing off there, replace the seal, slap it back together, and stick her back on.
So that 4 bolt seal housing for lack of a better term, is probably sealed with what? A secondary seal, or is it a form in place gasket like a RTV?
Fippage. Could be a gasket, but fippage.
I mean, if it's a gasket, I'll just get the gasket. It didn't leak.
Probably a gasket.
Okay. Well, I see that somebody has made a video on how to do this, so I guess I'll watch the video before I tackle it. I don't want to pull it out and not be prepared.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I wish that I could tell you that I just know how to do it, but, you know, in all my years as a technician, I've never put a front seal on an NP241, so here we are.
That's right. That's exactly right. Here you are. I've had my 231 apart many a times now.
When I had a Duramax, I had that 263 XHD apart like 5 times. But
why?
Because just issues. It kept blowing out the rear bushing for the output. It turned out it was a pump issue that I didn't know about. So I'd like replace the pump internals, not realizing there was still too much clearance. And so even after doing it, it would still chuck the rear bushing, which would also destroy the rear case half.
Oh shit.
I mean, I could pull a transfer case out of a Duramax in like 20 minutes because it was just, and like on the ground, like, cause I was just so mad. It was silly.
I'm so angry.
So mad. I just was.
What are you snacking on?
I mean, Whoppers.
Oh, okay.
Robin eggs. They're basically Whoppers.
Oh, I see.
Well, Easter candy leftover. Yeah.
I just saw blue candy and I'm like, what is that?
I'm just taking blue pills.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It looks like a blue pill. I'm like, what? Hey. What are you, like blue Mike and Ike?
I'm trying to do this podcast with a raging
buzz.
Buzz.
Trying to get crossfaded. So you've got Snow Day basically back together. Good enough if we could go wheeling. You just have to drain the transfer case and fill the transmission.
Yeah, I do that terrible solutions to easy problems thing, and I just take a hose and I have it come out of one and into the other, and it's an infinite loop, and I never have to replace the seal.
Perfect.
So easy. I think
it's brilliant. I would do that. That's the way I would do it, but then again, that's me. I haven't done anything off-road, nor have I planned anything off-road, nor have I talked about anything off-road. It's been a very busy week. We'll get into that in the Patreon.
Yeah, so... You don't go off-road. Your rig is capable of going off-road as we speak. Like, it's just ready to go. There's nothing it needs addressed for. You can go off-road.
No. It could use some things. It could get a back bumper put on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, everyone's rigs could use some things. Nobody says, this rig is exactly as it will always be. It doesn't need a darn thing.
Yes.
The back bumper is kind of important, though. I mean, you do have recovery points, but come on, Steve. You've needed a back bumper for whatever? Is it ever?
Yeah, ever.
Forever? Yeah, yep. Ever, forever. I thought that's what it was. I wasn't sure.
And ever, ever, and ever, forever.
Do it.
And ever. And I should put it on. I have the things, I believe, to do it.
If you can get that space hollowed out inside your, lack of a better term, chassis.
And I'm looking at the 18-inch long chisel bit to do it. So...
It's like
I have 18 inches.
Damn.
Yep.
That's long. 18-inch
air hammer chisel bit.
So what's going to happen when instead of hollowing out that hole, it just like destroys a new path? Is that fine too?
Yes.
It just rips things apart. Like there's nothing left. Is that okay? I don't know what you're expecting to happen. So
my plan is to rip the corners and then just fold everything in and push it back. That's my plan.
So couldn't you just take your truck and park it like against a wall and just take like a forklift or something and just push the thing into place?
I don't think so.
Sure. It's like an immovable object and an unstoppable force, right? You put the XJ against a concrete wall and you go get, I don't know, like a semi or something. Hell, we'll bring Snow Day over and we'll just put whatever it is you're trying to push through that hole against Snow Day. It almost drives sideways into you until whatever it is in place.
Okay.
Why won't that work?
I don't know.
So it will work?
The hole is not big enough.
I mean, we're going to make it big enough. Did you not understand me? We're going to use a truck to force it into place. There's an option for it to not be big enough.
So if we put a bulldozer on one end and a bulldozer on the other end and just start pushing,
Just start pushing.
Either the Jeep folds in half or those pieces go into the framer like they're supposed to. The
piece just goes into place.
It just goes in there.
It has to.
Mm-hmm.
Or, okay, worst case scenario, the Jeep's a little narrower at the back.
Yeah, it should be fine.
And then it just makes it easier to wheel because you don't have to fit through as tight of a space. You're like, oh, my Jeep is super narrow now.
I don't think it'd be narrower at the back. I think it would be the same. Maybe.
Okay. Well, okay. So what you're saying is you think it'll be the same because what I'm saying will work. We push the bumper or whatever it is through. What is it you're trying to fit in this hole?
So they are. So basically, it's like a box frame rail and it's bulged from rust because it's been boxed on the outside.
Naturally.
And so it's not as big as it's supposed to be. And the thing I'm trying to get in there is a 1/4-inch plate. It's also like a 1/4-inch box that slides in and then bolts come up from the bottom, like where your hitch would be and bolt into these. And they have a bumper bracket on the backside of them to attach a bumper to. So your bumper is no longer attached just to sheet metal. It's actually bolted through the unit frame.
Oh, nice.
Like it should be.
Yeah, and that makes it strong enough that it can be your recovery points.
Right, but it's a 1995 and lived its life in
the Midwest.
Yeah. So she's just a rusty mess. Yep.
Okay. Well, I still say we just, take two pieces of equipment and just push it together and it'll just go. And then, it takes 5 minutes instead of you having to get an air hammer and spend all this time trying to chisel away.
I just need you to get those two bulldozers and we'll be good.
Okay. I'm on my way. Do you think I can fit two bulldozers on the back of a 20-foot 10K trailer?
I think so. Or
I could just rent them and drive them one by one to your house. It might take a while, though.
Yes. That it might.
Is that a terrible solution to an easy problem?
I could bring the Jeep to you. But that's too easy, right?
Bring it to me and then what? I just use my bulldozers?
Yeah.
That I own?
Yep.
Okay. That's too easy.
That's the ones I would use.
That's the ones I would use.
Would you go buy new ones? Like, why would you already own two? Why would you go buy new ones?
That's true. I don't need four bulldozers. Two even seems excessive at times.
It does.
You know who has two bulldozers probably?
Who?
Tom.
Tom
Callahan, owns a construction company.
Tom definitely, does he still have, I feel like he sold his equipment.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because he got a much better offer.
No.
Yep. Some pretty.
Excuse me. I don't actually know any equipment he owned. I just knew he owned a construction company. So I assumed that he had bulldozers. Total assumption.
No bulldozers. I don't know who would have a bulldozer. Somebody does.
I feel like almost any piece of equipment would be strong enough to push that through, though. I don't think we need a bulldozer. Like, I'm thinking a pickup truck would be enough.
She'd have to be hefty.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
You would know better than me. You've seen the hole. I haven't seen the hole. All I know is it's bulged.
It's a small hole.
It's a clogged artery.
Yeah. It's tight.
A smaller over time instead of bigger.
The tight fit, and it's the thing that's got to go in there. Has got to go in there deep, so it's gonna be tough.
Oh, I guess bulldozers it is.
Jackhammer.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, an air hammer is just a jackhammer, right?
Mm-hmm. Just shorter strokes, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm crossing that one off. We did terrible solutions to easy problems, and it's an odd episode. So good for us. We actually did it.
Nailed it.
The only problem is now is the place where we put in the topic, and there isn't any of that. There's only bullshit.
All it is bullshit. So if you don't want to listen to bullshit, this episode, you should probably sit back, or you should
sit back. Just stop it right this moment.
Just sit this episode out. Fast forward to the end and then say you listen to it. Because I don't have a good solution. What can we talk about?
That's a good question. So
off-roading things.
if I wanted to, sorry, all I talk about is leaf springs. That's because I'm poor.
That's okay.
If I wanted to move my front axle forward an inch, I would go with a Wagoneer spring because it's got a 1-inch offset pin. Great, easy solution. But similar to the situation I just went through, when you put leaf springs out of something that you don't know anything about, how do you know it's going to be enough? I mean, I know they have like weight ratings for leaf springs.
Right.
But is that enough info to go on? Or do you get done buying something custom and installing it and find out that's not going to work at all?
What's under now?
K5 front springs or K10 or whatever, just like any square body Chevy front leaf springs, which is odd because they have an overload. Is that just a thing?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Would there be? Well, now I got to know. Is an overload a normal thing on a front leaf pack? From like 73 to 87. Trying to look this up right now.
An overload front leaf. Is that for like a snowplow edition? Is it a snowfighter leaf pack?
I have no idea. I got him used off a guy. He traded me for like some OBS parts. Okay. I can't remember the guy's name. I think it was Rob. All I know is that this guy had a bunch of stuff and we would often trade parts because he was like, I got one of those. You got one of these? I was like, sure do. And we would just do that.
Go fish.
So I don't know if it's necessarily an overload. It's just that it has a spring at the bottom that appears pretty overloady to me. And I mean, I think it does. It contact all the time. It does contact all the time. So maybe it's not an overload.
Okay.
It's just, it's significantly shorter than the other two. And that makes me feel like it's an overload. You know what I'm saying? Like usually like there are three and they like, it's like 1, 2, 3. And the difference in length is even. But that third one is like quite a bit shorter, I feel like.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't got this website. Either way, I was told that they were front leaf spring out of some square body. He didn't know. And I know that there's two leaves and a third that appears to be an overload. Maybe it's just not. So I don't know. Do you just take the weight rating of that spring versus a similar spring that has a 1-inch offset and say, hey, that'll probably work?
I would say when it comes to custom stuff, yeah, that's probably what you do.
You just hope for the best. Like,
and really, the Wagoneer, is that what you said it was coming out of?
I think so.
If you're taking it out of a Waggy front, it should be a similar weight to your truck.
Yeah, because they were full-size, weren't they?
It's a full-size vehicle. It's a full frame, like with a V8 in it.
Yeah, it's probably similar.
It should be pretty similar. Yeah, I feel like you could get away with that. Is there an article or a write-up on that?
Nope.
How did you find out that it's 1-inch offset in the direction you need in relation to the front eye of the leaf?
I just looked up offset leaf springs and I came across these, and it just so happened that it was 47 inches long.
Okay.
And the measurements were 22 and a half and 24 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So it ended up being, just a 1-inch offset.
Interesting. And so yeah. Like your leaf springs are 47 inches with 23 and a half?
Yeah. 23 and a half each. You got it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy that the thing you're looking for exists already.
Yeah, that's what's so great about it. If you know the
weight rating. Oh, yeah. That's got to be. You're talking about a off-road, like, it's a Jeep. So, like, it should theoretically, they should be goodish for what you're trying to do. And people put snowplows on those things.
Actually, what's interesting also is, and I don't know if this is like a life hack or like an off-road leaf spring hack. You know how sometimes leaf spring packs have many thin leaves and other times they're like a few thick leaves? Mm-hmm. And they essentially do the same thing.
Right.
But I think it was Derek saying that if you use many small leaves, the pack flexes better.
So it's a softer ride?
or a softer ride. I'm not sure if any of that holds true, but
yeah, it makes
sense. I can tell you that Wagoneer front springs, if I get one that has what I believe to be a similar capacity to what's under the truck, it's 7 leaves.
Holy
shit. As opposed to 3.
What? 7.
I'm going to send you a link.
That sounds like you're going to have a wrap issue.
You tell me, man. I do not know. That's the thing. I'm just.
We're just sending a link to.
I've sent it to the chat. I just sent it.
I got it.
Okay, so that pack is rated at 1,335 pounds.
I don't
know. Per leaf or whatever. But let me look up. Let me look up a Chevy. Just in the old Chevy. Well, K10. K10. What are you looking for, Steve?
My mind.
Oh, okay. 73-87 GM 4x4 front leaf springs. I have 3, so...
Oh, okay. Okay, now. All right, I'm back. My brain is back. I am... For whatever reason... Beat.
Did you have a hard day?
Not especially hard, I wouldn't say. I didn't think it was that bad. But I was polishing a pontoon boat, and that does take a lot. Okay.
Well, hopefully you can make it through this podcast.
Oh, yeah. I'm goodish. Just gotta... Huh. Interesting.
All right, so here I'm trying to find the same leaf pack that I have, or at least... Okay, so the spring capacity of a 3 leaf pack in the front of 73-87 is 1,400.
Per pack?
So 1,400 per pack, and that's 3 leaves, or the one you're looking at is like, what, 1,335, and it's 7 leaves.
Oh, yeah, 1,335. And the other one's 1,400? Not enough to work. Sounds like you're going to lower your truck slightly and be good to go.
Maybe? Gosh, I hope not. I mean, one thing's a tiny bit lower.
Sounds like it's going to ride better.
Well, honestly, is it going to lower it? Because the leaf spring pack that's in it is a used pack from like 1975. So,
dude, these things are $150 each.
Yeah.
You should just buy them just because they could be the solution.
It could be.
It could be.
The thing is, and I've said this before on the podcast, probably recently also, so I won't talk about it long, is that moving anything in a truck, like you're like, I'm going to move this thing an inch, creates so many other issues, though.
Many issues. So like, how's your steering look for this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I need to move the box? Is it just as simple as like doing it and just everything's cool? Like, I don't know. I might not need to move anything.
Your shocks, though.
Yeah, do I need to like re-weld the shock towers to the and like, you know, frame? I don't know. Or maybe they're far enough back now that it's fine. There's just a lot of things you don't know.
Where are they attached? They attach the spring plate currently or the axle?
No, I welded a couple of tabs like right at the where the C, right where the C welds to the axle. Right. Like right in that like corner.
I don't know, if I send you the money right now, will you buy them?
Sure.
I'm not paying shipping.
Oh, okay. The shipping's more than the springs because they weigh like 200 pounds. Right.
That would be cool if you could move it forward an inch and that was your solution.
I figure I'm going to wait to do the 60 until I move it forward an inch.
Oh, that makes sense.
I'm already going to have the axle loose anyway. Might as well just do it
The nice thing is like the 60 weighs more, so... you won't have to worry about the difference in spring rate because you'll have more weight under the spring than above the spring. And so that'll even out.
The hell are you talking about?
I was trying to keep a straight face.
I'm just like, no.
Because the extra added weight of the front axle will help like pull the spring down.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
That's how unsprung rate weight works.
Oh man, I'm so glad that we talked about this, so now I understand.
Right, like so if you were like to put water in your tires,
The truck gets taller.
Yeah, it'd be like a lift kit. That's how that works.
That's amazing.
I know. You've not tried it.
If I just put heavier tires on my truck, it'll make it taller.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yeah, like so, like your whole situation with the whole springs in the back. If you'd have just put water in your tires, it could have just solved it.
If only I had known. That would have been way easier.
That's probably why the Carolina squat guys are squatted like that, is because they have like really heavy front tires. And so the front end is like really tall.
Yeah, it's like basically putting helium on your chassis when you have heavy tires.
Right. Yeah. It's just it's the unsprung to sprung weight ratio that is really the key there.
I don't think that we need two terrible solutions, Steve.
Oh, mine's not a terrible solution. Mine is just false information.
It's just false information. That's true. It fixes nothing. It's a terrible. Does a terrible solution have to be a solution that actually could work? I still think the bulldozer thing will work.
The bulldozer thing would work to some degree, for sure.
You don't know if it wouldn't work perfectly until you try.
Right.
Oh my God! So I was trying to keep my axle. This is a terrible solution. I was trying to keep my axle at the height that it was and lift the truck high enough to get all the weight off the springs so I could take them out, right?
Yes.
Without any tension on them.
Right.
But by doing so, I had to get the truck higher than I could get it with a jack and jack stance, and I was using a high lift. And everything was fine until like that last jack when the whole truck started to go sideways.
That's every time.
And I'm just like sitting here holding it. Like, oh God, oh God, put it down, put it down.
That was why you were like, I'm just going to use a high lift.
That's the way I got it up there. I would go up with the high lift, then I would move the jack stands up and set it back down, and I'd go up with that. And I just kept doing that over and over.
Yeah.
But no, on the way down, I did not do that.
Oof. A lot of work. A lot of sketchy.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is.
So, okay. So you're going to order front leaf springs, and you're going to stretch. Now you're going to move the front axle forward an inch because you brought the rear axle forward like how many inches?
Like forward?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I didn't move the rear axle at all.
The hell you didn't? You shortened the truck.
Oh, I moved it forward many, many inches.
Many, many inches.
20 inches?
Buggy, I don't know. You just build a buggy.
I didn't want a buggy. I wanted a truck.
Oh, okay.
And it's barely a truck now. It's basically a truggy.
Have we seen any updates on Growy's truggy?
He keeps that shit on the down low, man. I saw it in person and I was like, what the? But yeah, he hadn't even told me, like when I went to pick him up one day, I'm just like, what is going on here? And he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to keep the cab, but maybe not the doors. And like,
yeah.
Now, is he keeping anything? I can't remember. Is it just nothing? Like dash.
Yeah. He's keeping the dash and the seats.
Dash, and you know, that's the seats won't be long. So he's basically keeping the firewall and maybe the dash, and that's it.
Floor.
I just feel like it's so strange when people go that off the deep end. Like, why are you keeping any? Like, if you just want to build a full custom tube buggy, then why are you starting with a floor and a firewall? Like, what's the point? To make it harder to work around? Like, I don't even get it.
I don't know. That'd be a question.
The same thing, though.
I know.
He's like, oh yeah, I just want to keep it a truck. And then he's like, I'm going to build a full custom tube chassis around a truck cab. And it's like, why? Yes.
Because I want the truck still.
I guess.
Yeah. Has anybody seen that thing in a while? It's kind of weird that you haven't seen videos or anything of it.
Somebody probably made it into a big dumb mud truck and it just goes through the mud and it's never seen in a trail ever again.
Like, it was a cool build, so it's interesting that we haven't seen, like, anything of it.
Yeah, it was a really cool build. You would think if anybody who had the internet still had that thing that we would see it pop up somewhere in the off-road community.
Yeah. Nope, she's tucked away back in a garage somewhere, never to be seen again.
Nope.
Yep.
Someone's making it into a big, dumb mud truck. Would that be sad? As much thought that went into that project and how cool it was.
Now it's a big dumb mud truck.
That would be really sad. Let's hope it's not that.
Yep. Let's hope. But well, time will tell. What else you want to talk about while we're on the podcast?
I don't know.
You any RC stuff you're working on?
Yeah, actually, there is some RC stuff I'm working on.
Did we talk about my new RC?
Huh?
Did we talk about my new RC?
What? You had a new RC?
What? Oh no, this podcast just went off the deep end.
I'm excited. What'd you get? What'd you get?
I'm surprised that you didn't hear that episode, but yeah.
Wait, that's is it a 24 scale? Oh, I know about it. I was on that episode and we already talked about it.
Okay. I was going to say.
Okay. I was thinking 10th scale, so I was excited. I know that you bought one for quote Owen.
Quote Owen. Yeah, quote unquote Owen.
Owen's dad. I think Owen's dad got a new RC.
Yeah. Played with a little bit and not playing with it. It's just.
No, that's really cool.
It is fun to play with. It is cool. It's a fun little RC.
No upgrades yet?
No. No time.
You say no like that's a joke. It's not a joke. You start the process and next thing you know, you're out $1,000.
The last 2 weeks have been hell.
You don't have time to even think about that kind of thing.
Not even close.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had a... Yeah. We've been really busy at work. I had a stressful week last week. I had to work on a GM and I hate that.
Oof.
And so anyway, I went and bought myself a... I went to my local hobby shop because, you know, I figured, you know what? I didn't have anything in mind. I just wanted to build something. So rather than get on the internet and just see 1,000 options, I'm just going to walk into the local hobby shop, see what they have. I'm just going to grab some off the shelf. I'm going to build it.
Nice.
So I got a Tamiya.
What is this thing?
Wild One Blockhead Motors Edition. It's a buggy. You'd have to look it up. It's pretty cool. Blockhead Edition Wild One.
Okay. Yeah, send me a link to that so I can see what it looks like.
I'm going to.
So what type of car is it?
It's like a dune buggy, basically.
Okay.
It's pretty realistic looking. Got some pretty cool decals, pretty cool like accessories. Like all in all, it just ends up looking pretty realistic. Has a driver figure. I'll need to paint his face. I think he's otherwise pre-painted. That was actually another thing nice about this kit. I don't really like the painting aspect of RC at all. Right. I've been actually farming out a lot of that recently, and I have a few bodies in the works. Some pretty, pretty beautiful stuff too, which I'll have to post pictures of once I get more updates from my painters. But this one came with a pre-painted body, and even the driver figure, like his body and the surround, is painted. The only thing you have to paint is the face, which can be a little tricky, but I think I'm up for it. So I'm going to try to get that done. I'll send you a link.
Mike's RC.
Barn. Yep, Mike's RC. Hey, that's all this RC stuff going on.
RC barn.
Yeah, so I'm building this buggy. I don't 100% know if I'm going to keep it. I had enough spare bearings to do almost all the bearings in this thing.
What?
But there were a few that I didn't have, and those are in the mail.
Why didn't it come with bearings?
It just doesn't. It's a bushing kit.
Oh.
Most Tamiya kits come with bushings. They're, bearings are considered an upgrade. A lot of companies now do come with full bearings, but not Tamiya.
Blockhead Motors.
Yeah.
That is cool. That looks like an old Associated, right?
Yeah, it looks kind of similar to an RC-10.
An RC-10. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it has
I built an RC-10 Clear Edition not too long ago, but I'm thinking about selling that one. It just doesn't speak to me. I never had an RC-10 as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was always a Lozy guy.
Ooh, and so you paid for it?
No, actually, the MSRP of the website, that's just what they asked for. I think I paid around $240 or something like that.
Not bad. Local hobby shop cheaper than the internet. Crazy.
Well, this is direct from the manufacturer. I was just giving you the link to their actual page. Like, if you just Googled this exact kit, it would be around that price anywhere.
That's the map price.
Yeah, right.
The manufacturer advertised pricing.
Exactly.
Is $352, so like that's what you would expect it to be.
Yeah, so then when it's $240, you're happy. So.
For sure.
Either way, I was just happy to have a project, and this one's been pretty complex, which is great, because the complexity makes it, one, take longer, and, two, it's interesting. when something's really easy, it's not that satisfying. So just even building the little light pods, mm-hmm. you have to like the little black stickers that go all the way around them. I have to carefully cut those out with an X-Acto knife. And same with the lenses. You have to cut those out, and you have to cut out the decal that goes on the lens that gives it like the fluting. I don't know. So it's just been nice to just sit down and relax and just, you know, very carefully do some fine motor skill stuff. And I don't know. I just love it. That's the thing I love that. Most about RC is just all the fine detail.
I want to sit down and relax and do something relaxing.
I mean, you got to. I was starting to get, you know, depressed, and mm-hmm. I was like, I just need to relax. And this is what I do to relax is RC. So I go get me a kit and sit down in a nice quiet room and just, you know, do something.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make time for that, Steve. If you need to sit down and relax, you need to sit down and relax. You can't say, oh, I just never stop because, oh, okay. Nope.
I was going to take a day to myself on Sunday. But just got invited to a ball game, and so I was on dad duty, which was fine because she had him all week. So tried to do duty, you know, relaxing stuff with Owen, but you know, and it was fun and it was a good day, but it wasn't like a retreat of any.
You know, no,
it wasn't just me time, I guess.
No, I completely understand. I like spending time with my kid too, but it is in no way relaxing. Relaxing is not the word I would use for that. Fulfilling, yeah. Maybe. Relaxing? No.
We went out walking in the woods. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And then we went fishing after that, which was also not relaxing because toddler.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Because 4-year-old. And he was like, he fished for all of like 10 minutes and was like, my arm's tired from reeling it in. I was like, just leave it out there. And he's like, I'm done. It's like, okay. Yep.
That's how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
I get it.
You're not wrong about that. I don't know. Like, literally, Jess said something about doing something. She's like, you just need to do something for yourself and just go relax. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, you don't have an activity that you do that's solely just to relax? Like, not even with... For me, it used to be like socializing, but I come to realize that that's not actually that relaxing. Like, is it fun and does it replenish me? Yes, but like not in the same way that sitting down by myself in a quiet room and just doing something does, you know?
Mm-hmm. I just don't have anything set up to do just that, like sitting down in a quiet room. I would like to put my backup camera in my truck.
I mean, you do. Okay. Like, what about video camera or video? You said camera. That's video games. Like, that's something you can do. Yeah. A lot of my friends do that.
It's not set up anywhere.
You have a computer that could do it, don't you?
Maybe.
I don't know. It's just that's something that I find to be relaxing. And for people that like doing it, it's great because it's not that expensive. Like, yes, it's expensive to get it like a PlayStation or a gaming computer, but like getting games and playing them.
Yeah,
it's not that expensive.
No.
Whereas like the thing I do, like building RC cars, I have to buy an RC car. That's expensive. And like, yeah, I have a lot of ones I could tinker with, but most of them I've done all the tinkering to, and they're already like the way I want them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to do that unless I build something new. I'm starting to get a stockpile of stuff that's just over here on the floor that I've built, but I don't know anywhere to put. So I either need to like start selling or buying more shelves.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't sell, buy more shelves.
Don't sell, just buy more.
Yes.
Well, okay. It's just like anything. If it doesn't bring me joy, I'm going to sell it. So I saw the RC10 clear edition. I was really excited about it. I built it. Great build. And then when I got done with it, I look at it and I'm like, I just don't care about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably sell it. I don't know. I should probably wait to sell it until they're not still available. So it becomes more valuable, but I might just sell it to fund another project. I don't know. I just, you know.
Yeah,
I don't care that much about buggies. I care more about trucks. What can I say? I'm a truck guy.
Yeah, I need to figure out. Like, it's funny because I used to have like all these hobbies, but now the only like hobby I actually have is the Jeep. And I really don't like get to do that as much as I want to. I want to go like, I need to go on like a wheeling weekend. I asked the guys the other day when we were going wheeling.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Trevor and Josh. I was in their group talking about a trailer. And we should talk about trailers in the Patreon.
We can.
Yeah. Because what are we into this one?
Oh, shoot. I don't know. Let me see.
Not quite an hour.
49
minutes.
50 minutes ago. Yeah. Almost there. Yeah.
So, anyway, I was talking to them guys about a trailer that I had found that was like $5,000 or something like that. And it's brand new. Mm-hmm.
That's not bad for brand new.
It's a brand new Liberty trailer. But it was a brand new Liberty 20-foot, 83-inch wide deck. Not a buggy hauler, but, you know, just a car hauler. But it had 5,000-pound axles under it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so I was looking at that, and I was like, do I want wheels on my truck, or do I want a new trailer that is mine?
Are you going to spend $5,000 for wheels in your truck?
I am.
Because you're going to buy like 26s or something stupid like that?
24 by 12s.
Gross.
Forged.
Gross. Because I know you're going to put little rubber band tires on it, and I'm going to hate them.
I haven't decided yet. We're going to do a test fit over at the, we're going to do a test fit when I go to put them on to see if I can put a 35 on without extreme rubbing.
Why don't you want a nice tasteful wheel, like a 20 or even say a 22? Why do you got to go 24?
Because they just don't look good on fucking Rams.
22 or 20 doesn't look good on a Ram?
No. Not a 20 by 12. 20 by 12 just looks, I don't know, it just doesn't look good.
But then you still have enough room left over that you can put an actual tire on it, an actual sidewall.
Like, it looks like an 18. Yeah, I know. That's what my truck comes with, factors at 20. And it just
looks like you convince me. Send me a picture. Send me a picture right now of a truck that looks like how you want your truck to look, and I'll decide if the amount of sidewall that you have is acceptable or not.
You have to go find one.
Just fuck, I'll do it. Sure.
I'm pretty sure that I found
2000, I don't know, 14 Ram.
Sure.
24 wheels.
Yep.
Images. Ugh. Oh, God. I hope these aren't 24s. These are hideous.
Probably 24s.
You know, actually, I see one that's not lifted. I kind of like it's the lifted ones. It's because it looks disproportionate. When I see huge wheels on a lifted truck, it needs to have huge tires. If it has tiny tires, it doesn't look right.
Right.
If you want to lower your truck and put 24s on it, I'm all about it.
Yeah, but then they won't be wide. There will be no lip. You can't put a lip on there at all.
Correct. Yeah, you don't need that.
Where is that? I took a picture of it and sent it somewhere.
Ooh, that looks good. That's got a lift kit.
Is this it? Here. Okay. Share this image to Michael. I'm going to send it to you right now, good sir.
Are you sending it in the chat, or are you sending it to my phone?
I'm sending it to your phone.
Okay.
It's on my phone.
Michael. Are you sending me a picture of something similar to what you want to do?
I am sending you a picture of what, to what I would like to do.
It's going to be hideous.
By 12 with it's a 35 by 13.
What size tires are on your truck right now overall?
33s.
So are you lifting it?
No.
So you're not going to lift it, and you're going to put a bigger tire on it.
That is supposedly what this one has that I just sent you.
Okay, the one that you sent me are also black wheels, which obviously you're not going to do.
Right.
You're going to do polished.
Yes.
So that's going to make a difference.
That's kind of the look that I'm shooting for.
I mean, I hate it, but you know. I have to. I mean, I just see it. I see these trucks all the time, and I'm like, ugh, every time. It's not even the wheels. The wheels are usually pretty beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, the wheel style.
The truck is usually pretty beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And then someone says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fuck this up. I'm going to put a little tiny skinny rubber band tire on a four-wheel drive pickup truck, a full size.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be like, done. And it's like, you were so close. You had a beautiful wheel. You had a beautiful truck. And you put the wrong tire on it. And the end. And that's why I'm saying, if you did that exact same wheel, smaller with a bigger sidewall, it would probably look good.
Right.
Now, I know that's just my opinion. You should do whatever you want because it's your truck. I'm just not going to like it.
Yep, but I will. And that's what matters.
And that's what matters. It's your truck and you do what you like and it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks.
And just like always, it'll look good and everybody will be like, oh, damn, that actually does look pretty good.
Okay. Everyone's going to like it except me. It's fine.
No, there's plenty of people that are against the rubber bands on pickups. Plenty of people. Oh, it needs more sidewall. Oh, it's worthless.
It's not even the worthless to me. It's fully aesthetic and nothing else. Like, you tell me you can tow everything you want and it does everything you want all day, every day. It drives great. It rides great. That's all wonderful. And I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
I just don't like how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, there are obviously a lot of people that are going to complain about it being worthless, but I tow shit with a lower truck all the time and it's fine.
You do. Yeah, exactly.
And people will tell me it's worthless. I'm like, hey, it does fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't build it for them. I built it for me. The end. Mike,
why would you lower a four-wheel drive? God. Yeah,
exactly. It's stupid, right? Ugh. You can hate my truck all you want, but I'm still love it.
Why would you lower a four-wheel drive truck? What's wrong with you?
Yep. Because I'm dumb.
Yeah, that's it.
You got it.
Mike's dumb.
Yeah.
You ready to move this to the Patreon?
Should we better, man? We don't got shit to talk about.
Well, we just
on the Patreon. Watch the Patreon. It's going to be like it all often happens. We bullshit so much on the podcast that the Patreon actually ends up being the topic.
The actual full topic.
Gosh, I don't know.
Why was the Patreon so on task? Oh, yeah.
We had to get warmed up.
Had to get warmed up. Yeah, that's what it was.
Maybe.
So then we're like, oh, okay, we should put the Patreon first so it's the bullshit and then the podcast, and then it'll be like that for 6 or 8 months, and then like, oh, we should move it back because we do all of our bullshitting on the back end because we're drunk now.
Could be.
Yeah. Right on. Okay. Go check out CompleteOffroad.com. They hooked up Brad with his bumper, and they have everything you need for your rig. Have you seen the new stuff coming out from Crawler? I think they did a launch today. Actually,
I saw the launch.
Yes,
it was a tool roll.
Crawler Off-Road launched their tool roll on the 23rd of April, and that is just a small portion of what is to come. So, super excited for them on that, and they're also one of our partner companies. So you can check them out
at
crawleroffroad.com.
I just realized that if you go to Crawler Off-Road's website, one of the photos on their website is Snow Day.
Nice.
On the front page.
Gotta love that. Means you should buy a tool.
It's a good photo of me definitely using a winch when it would be way cooler if I wasn't.
Are there any tool rolls left?
Are there any tool rolls left? Let me see.
Or is it a pre-order?
I can't tell. Like, I can click add to cart. Does that mean that it's in stock?
Maybe.
It's got to mean it's in stock. It doesn't say not in stock.
Seemingly. Okay, so there's still some left right now.
That is pretty cool. I've needed a tool roll for so long. I've been using a big clunky toolbox. Even today, I thought about this. I've been using it a lot recently because some of my, like, all of my half inch stuff is in my to-go toolbox because Snow Day, right? Like, and then I know if I need it at home, it's in my truck that's at home. And if I need it on the trail, it's also on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a big steel Craftsman toolbox sitting on my back seat, which is, you know, probably not the safest thing in the world. And it makes a lot of noise, you know, because like whenever you hit a bump, like all your tools like bounce and stuff. And I've been thinking, I really need a better tool solution. This might be just what I need. I need to just put all my tools in a roll, shove it under the seat, and then not have to worry about the noise or the big clunky toolbox like flying around and like hitting someone in the head in the event of a rollover or something.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, maybe I need to pick one of these up. Can I use TOP10?
I think so.
Let's see. I'm gonna add it to my cart.
I don't know.
Seed to check out. Email address. I already have an account. This is going to take too long. Anyway, keep calling people out.
Check out offroadanonymous.com. Jacob, as some of you may know it, Got all your bracketry, fabrication parts, steel fab things, and garage organizational things. If you need any of that stuff, make sure you go over to offroadanonymous.com and check out what they have there for you. Check out Morflate, MORRFLATE.com, and get your inflation and deflation going on. Have you inflated and deflated with Morflate lately, Michael?
You know, I got my Morflate and it's still in the box.
Oh boy.
Because I haven't done anything off road since I've got it. I've moved Snow Day out of my shop and to my work and back.
When are we going wheeling?
This is a good question. We should go wheeling. I could go wheeling.
Fix the transfer case and let's go wheeling.
Okay, done.
I mean, since it's not muddy currently, fix it and then we'll go wheeling.
I mean, it's not muddy. It's been raining for like a month.
Is it outside?
Oh, wait. Are you talking about Snow Day or the truck. Weather?
The truck.
Oh, the truck is not muddy right now. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So before you go take it to the Badlands and get muddied, let's fix that transfer case. And then go from there. Check out, is it Radiopod? Do you have that on your list?
Let's see. Yes, Radiopod.
Radiopod. They've got 3D printed and also more than 3D printed. I think there's some also that are like ABS or like injection molded radio mounts for your radio, for your two-way radio, your Bofangs, and things like that. So if you're looking for a good way to mount that when you're not talking to your trail buddies, make sure you check out radiopod.com. Is it .com? I think it is.
I don't have that. I only have the name of the company.
It should come up. Check out. Don't check out. What, RA Fab? Damn it.
RD Design?
That's the one.
It's RD Built. RD Built. RD Built.
Don't check out RD Built because Rory's not making anything for you, as you found out on the last podcast. My brain is fading.
Should I erase him off of the thing?
Sure.
Okay, did it.
And check out Toolbox Widget, where you can get your toolbox organized. And if you're not going to use a tool roll, you can get some Toolbox Widget stuff and organize your at-home toolbox and get it all set up. Also, they have the grip mat, and the grip mat is amazing. I use mine daily. Every time I take apart a buffer, I use one of my grip mats to hold all of my accessories and parts and screws and brushes. And anything that I don't want to roll away when I start blowing the shit out of the machine. So if you have a bunch of loose parts that you're trying to hold on to while you're working on something, make sure you check out a grip mat. They really are worth it. Is that everybody?
Sure.
Yeah. We already shout out Summershine.
So we're good.
Thanks for joining us for episode 213. Michael, have you any other thoughts?
Oh, it's not last words. Do I have any other thoughts?
Yeah, it should be last words, but you know.
I think if anything, it's find time for yourself.
Find time. That's a good one. Like it.
Well, we kind of got on the subject of how important it is. Day-to-day life can be pretty stressful, and you absolutely have to make time for yourself. mental health isn't just a fad or some fake thing. It's a real thing that everybody has to deal with. And whether you believe it or not, you need to make time for yourself.
Facts. Okay. You heard it from the man. Ready to stop the recording?
I suppose I probably should since I started it, huh?
Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the trail.
Bye-bye.
Craig to go away now.
Go on.
Love you, Craig. Okay.
Oh, we love Craig.